AM 1500 KSTP.
KSTP, the talk station. This is Bob Davis. Caesar takes the purple in about 2 hours. So we will be covering that, of course, this morning. The big party in Washington, D.C. for the inauguration of the 44th president, Barack Obama. And I don't know. We'll see who we end up talking to this morning. A couple of things I want to do this morning. One, I would like to get people's reaction, not right now, but in a little while, to what they're seeing and what they think about what's going on. Once again, we're in one of those news cycles where all you hear about is what the commentators say and what the important people say. And it's coming at you. And I wonder what people actually think about what's going on or if they're actually watching it. What was this story last night that they were giving people the day off for Inauguration Day? Is that what was going on? Or they were going to make accommodations for people to enjoy the inaugural ceremonies? I don't remember that happening. I remember taking the day off. I remember my dad, who worked for the government, had the day off on Inauguration Day because you couldn't get downtown. But I don't recall getting the day off of work for Inauguration Day. And certainly I wouldn't even think of taking today off because this is a big day for us. So this is all part of the pomp and circumstance for us. A couple other things. This will be the most expensive inauguration in U.S. history. It's $170-plus so far million dollars. Dulles Airport closed one section of the airport for private jets. VIP sections have the front row seats at all the big events. The Great Unwashed is kept back. The so-called working campaign people really kind of didn't get the front row seats. The contributors got the front row seats, the VIPs and so forth and so on. Lots of Hollywood stars. It will be a huge Hollywood production in that respect. It will be choreographed perfectly, as we have seen previous Obama events all through the campaign, choreographed perfectly, no mistakes. And you got to give him credit for that. I have a bunch of different thoughts, one of which is I'm not stunned, actually. I'm well beyond stunned. I don't become stunned by it anymore. I just let it go because there's nothing you can do about it. I am overwhelmed sometimes at the degree to which the media simply gives this man pass after pass after pass. If you'll recall, when Bush took office in 2000, everyone said he was illegitimate when he was inaugurated again in 2004, 2005. There were protests, as Aaron Katursky just mentioned here a little bit ago on Royce and Company. It's amazing to watch the media literally fawn over this guy from some of the headlines that I have about him. He will do all these wonderful things. He is changing the view of what the perfect male looks like. He is really Caesar. Is it a coronation? I guess is probably one of the most important questions to ask. The inaugural was not that big of a deal in the history of this country. You know, Washington certainly took office to a large crowd right in New York City. But over the years, I'm not so sure that the inaugural was that big of a deal because the presidency really wasn't that big of a deal. It was only till, I guess you could say, probably Lincoln. But even with Lincoln, it wasn't like this. Roosevelt wasn't like this. I suppose the first modern inaugural would be Roosevelt. And I don't expect people to, unless you happen to be alive then, go back and remember. A lot of people who are older will remember Kennedy's inaugural. They'll remember the Reagan inaugural. They'll remember things like that. So I guess the first question is whether or not you think this is a coronation, if it's just gone too far. John Fund from the Wall Street Journal is sort of watching the festivities. Good morning.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So what's your opinion on this? Is I got a lot of questions. One, has the media gone completely overboard? And I mean the mainstream media in just absolutely not reporting any of the possible negatives or glitches or anything about Obama that isn't really almost fawning.
Well, I'm of two minds. On the one hand, I think the mainstream media is showing itself to be the lamestream media. I mean, the coverage is so banal and so almost over the top in terms of the historic nature of all of this and reporting on the joy and the cheering in the streets. Look, I've seen all of that, and you know that's all fine. I guess my other point of view is this is a day of celebration, and the country is in trouble. And we all deserve, I think, a day perhaps to sit back and reflect the historic nature of this. It means a lot to many Americans. It especially means a lot to African Americans. By the way, a new CNN poll shows that 2/3 of black Americans now believe that the promise that Martin Luther King, the dream that Martin Luther King outlined in his famous speech on Capitol Mall in 1963, that people would be judged by their character, not by the color of their skin, has been fulfilled. That's an amazing accomplishment. I guess I would be happy just to have a day of celebration not marred by any kind of discordant notes if I thought that the media would, after the inauguration was over, cover the Obama administration skeptically and relentlessly. I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm happy to have a day of celebration. I'm just skeptical that it's going to be followed up by the requisite objectivity and searching analysis that we need.
Right, and we don't think that. And certainly not the way that they treated Bush.
Who?
The mainstream media, the way that they treated Bush. We don't expect that
President
kind of coverage.
Bush, look, I guess the good news for President Bush is very few people are talking about him today. He basically dropped down the memory hole, which I think is unfortunate. I think that many years from now, President Bush will have a better reputation in the history books than he has as he leaves office today. You know, I was at 9/11. I was just across the street from the World Trade Center, my office, when the planes hit the trade towers. And I have to tell you, the day after 9/11, if you had asked me or anyone else in this country, what are the odds that we're going to have another terrorist attack hit our homeland with devastating impact in the next few days, weeks, or months, almost everyone would have said yes. Well, it's been 7.5 years. So for all the mistakes President Bush made, and I've certainly commented on many of them, I think he should leave office this morning with the knowledge and the understanding that people will, in the future, greater appreciate the fact that he kept the country safe when many people felt that it would not be 7.5 years of relative quiet on the home front.
And security in Washington really is at an all-time high right now.
Well, it should be. This is a day in which our adversaries would love to perhaps point out, you may think that you're turning a page in your history, but you're not. We can control events, and we can disrupt the world's greatest superpower. So I think the security, as tight as it is essential.
Feelings of optimism that a couple of headlines I've seen, Obama will save us, that type of thing. Things are so bad, we're looking for Caesar to come in and save the country. This feeling of optimism, something like an 80% approval rate for Obama, even with the concerns about the economy, how long do you think that'll last?
About 6 months. In about 6 months, he will own the economy. He will own his stewardship of this presidency. It won't be likely that he'll be able to convince people that this is just the residue of the previous administration. The good news is Obama has an enormous amount of goodwill from both sides of the aisle. People want him to succeed. They do not want the country to slide into mediocrity. They do not want this recession to be prolonged. They certainly want, in the financial markets, what's the greatest crisis we've had since the Great Depression, to be prolonged. So he has an enormous amount of goodwill. How he uses that and how he's able to maneuver around a Democratic Congress, which is far more liberal than he is and far more ambitious in what they want to do. There are people in Congress who want to use the current economic difficulties as an excuse to impose far more rigorous tax and spending and regulatory policies than we've ever seen in this country. And if Obama is smart, he will resist that, because it was precisely that kind of overreaching that cost Bill Clinton his credibility and led to his party's enormous defeat in the 1994 elections.
He is not known as a guy who goes against the power, though. Certainly not in the Senate, and certainly not in the Illinois Senate.
I grant you that, but you remember, he's now the big cheese. He was in the shadow of Democratic leaders in the state Senate. He was in the shadow of Mayor Daley during his time in Chicago politics. He certainly was not anything other than a backbencher in the Senate. Now he's the big cheese. He's the head of his party. He's the president of the United States of America as of noon. If he can't assert himself, then we may question whether or not he's perhaps nothing much more than a very pretty speaker willing to sort of go with the flow. I think Barack Obama has a bigger sense of himself. I think he has more ambitions for what his presidency will be, and I think that many presidents have risen to the occasion, Harry Truman being one of them. I think Barack Obama will join those.
What's your sense of this comparison to Lincoln and Roosevelt? This is one of the things that's really driving me crazy, that he's taking office in a similar vein to Lincoln when the country is nowhere near the condition it was in prior to Lincoln's administration.
Or Roosevelt's.
Right.
Frankly, it's probably about the same as Ronald Reagan took office actually not even as bad, because we had 21% interest rates, 12% inflation, 9% unemployment. The historical comparisons are made by people who haven't studied history. If they study history, they would recognize that we're still a strong country. We need some things fixed. We do not need a fundamental reevaluation of our federal structure, which is what confronted Lincoln, or our economic system, which is what Roosevelt dealt with. I think Barack Obama, if he's as smart as I know he is and suspect he is, I think Barack Obama will realize that's a lot of overheated rhetoric, and he better not pay attention to it.
But they seem to be encouraging it. They're doing the inaugural at the Lincoln Memorial. They rode the train in, and they were evoking images of Lincoln. They're talking about how he's been studying the Roosevelt presidency. I'm not sure studying the Roosevelt presidency is the right thing right now.
Well, of course you do that publicly, because you're trying to build up a mythic, larger-than-life figure and keep those public approval ratings high for as long as possible. But privately, I think that they're a little bit more restrained and more realistic.
What about these expectations? Very high expectations. Is it impossible? This is, after all, the presidency, which is not, people think it's the king, that he has these dictatorial powers almost. And as Bush discovered, the president is quite limited in his powers.
As he should be. I think one of the horrible things we've had in our schools the last couple generations are people have lost all sense of what our Constitution is all about, the notion of limited powers, the notion of divided government. And it's dangerous because, as Ronald Reagan told us when he left office, we're only one generation away from ignorance of the basic founding principles of our country. And I fear that too many of Barack Obama's fans and supporters don't understand what kind of a country we have and what kind of constraints there are on a president, as they should be. After all, we just went through 8 years in which a whole lot of people complained about the unconstrained nature of and the go-it-alone nature of President Bush's time
yes.
in office. So remember, all presidents, regardless of party, have power that should be feared and scrutinized and viewed with suspicion. That is the American way. We do give power to those who have exercised authority over us. We also watch it very carefully and are suspicious and fearful of it.
What's your sense of some of the things he said yesterday regarding, I wouldn't call it sacrifice, but I would use the term sacrifice, although he didn't use the term sacrifice. He used the term service. This call of service to service?
Very much trying to evoke John F. Kennedy in 1961. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Barack Obama is trying as hard as possible to shift the burden of solving the country's problems away from him and onto others, namely the American people. And that's appropriate. I don't want an American people that looks to Washington for solution. I don't want an American public that looks to a president for salvation. So I think he intuitively understands, I don't want all of this burden. I want to call on people to do what they can. I want to be their leader. I do not want to be their messiah.
Well, that's fine. But then you have all these programs designed to nationalize the banks. I could go on down the list.
Those were the previous administration. We've already far down that path. Again, we don't know what direction Barack Obama will take. He certainly ran a campaign in which he endorsed a lot of liberal prescriptions. On the other hand, he can legitimately say this economy is such that we're broke and we can't afford all of this, and we're going to have to delay a drive for universal national health care and other things. He can go with the flow of what the Democratic Congress wants to do, and that's frankly to spend us into poverty and a different country. And I still believe that Barack Obama wants to be reelected, and he recognizes that if he repeats the mistakes of Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, who allowed themselves to be too closely tied to the special interests of a Democratic Congress, that will not redound to his benefit. It didn't help Carter, and it didn't help Clinton.
John Fun, Wall Street Journal. Now, what's your plan for today?
My plan is to stay warm inside, not to join the madding crowds of 1 or 2 million people, and watch with respect and interest the president's inauguration speech shortly afternoon.
Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thank you. And all of our stuff is free on the web for the editorial page of the journal at opinionjournal.com.
Thank you. I love it. I go there every day. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you later. Back in a second at AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station.
Welcome back. Tom up for grabs, a trip to spring training. Think you have what it takes to name that twin?
Bob, I can name that twin in one word.
All right, play it for him.
And.
Okay, two words.
And,
5 words. I know I can do it in 5. Or 10.
Actually, we'll give you an entire quote to name that twin. For the chance to see all of them at spring training in Fort Myers, Florida. Simply identify the voice of the mystery twin played at 7:35 during Royce & Company. Then enter the correct guess at am1500.com. And you'll have a chance to win a trip to Fort Myers to see the twins at spring training from NWA World Vacations and AM1500 KSTP.
The Talk Station, AM1500 KSTP.
This is our inaugural celebration music. The Caesar taking the purple episode. Pardon me if I'm not enthusiastic. We are. What did John Fund just say? The nation is in economic straits and trouble, and yet this is the most expensive inaugural in history. And as I mentioned yesterday, a great deal of money expended for this inaugural given to Obama by Citibank, which is one of the banks that, of course, took TARP money, a great deal of TARP money, with a gun to its head. Another bank that's in trouble has given them millions for the inaugural event. I mean, it's these words about imaging and it's important for him to do this, and it's important for him to do that, and we have to be part of the whole sequencing of the administration and all that. That's just fine, and this is a day when we shouldn't be political and everything else. At the root of all of this is a great deal of politics and imaging and so forth. Yes, the country's in dire straits. Let's go ahead and spend far more than any other president has spent on the inaugural one. In fact, he can be inaugurated in a room at the Capitol. He doesn't have to do this. I suppose if I were his campaign manager, I would do exactly what David Axelrod is doing in the sense of creating quite a pageant and a huge celebration and maximize it. But it really is, you talk about connecting the dots. You talk about the media, particularly the mainstream media, connecting the dots and saying, gee, is this okay? That's not something that I've heard too much in all this fawning coverage. In fact, I don't want to listen to the anchors because it's the same thing. It's just repeating over and over again these wonderful things that he has the opportunity to do. I do think that it is creating a great expectation for the presidency that just simply is not achievable. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your position is. I don't care what kind of person you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if you are that genius man that possesses the will to remake the country in his own image. You know, that expectation is very high right now. And we were just looking at all the papers and commenting here a couple of minutes ago when everybody was standing here, you know, shift change of the plant here, you know, all the morning guys are standing around. And what the media giveth, the media taketh away. The thing that's also interesting today, of course, is that the Bush haters, what will they do? The Bush haters have had 8 years of fat. They've been able to scream and yell and pound and protest with impunity against a president that they don't dislike, they hate. And I don't agree with Obama, but I think it would be difficult for me to hate him as a person. These are people who absolutely hate Bush, and they are very upset today because they feel that Bush should be arrested when he leaves the White House today. They feel that Bush should be prosecuted, arrested. Cheney should be arrested. I was noticing yesterday on Twitter, there was a whole sequence of comments regarding Cheney. And somebody said, Ann Coulter has her jaw wired shut and Cheney's in a wheelchair. There is a God. I mean, there's an undercurrent of that as well in this. And I suppose those are ugly ideas. They're only ugly, though, when they're presented towards a liberal or left wing person. They're not when you attack someone like Bush. You really, it's no holds barred. You can say anything you want. And they're even mad. Those people are mad at Pelosi now. And they're mad at the U.S. government because they're not going after Bush with tooth and nail. And moreover, they're concerned that that Obama is going to hew to the center. That's, to me, that's all staging. Don't expect him to hew to the center. I caution everyone who thinks that he is going to be a centrist president. Now, I've been wrong about a lot of things, so I suppose I'll be wrong about this, but he has no reason to hew to the center. He has a huge majority in the House of Representatives. He has may as well be a working majority in the Senate. He has no reason to. He has John McCain helping him in the Senate in the interest of bipartisanship, because the Republicans are so cowed, they're afraid to stand up and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, this is not a good idea." We're on the verge of spending $800 billion minimum for the stimulus, and you have people like Paul Krugman saying that anyone who opposes it is a crank and a fool and some kind of freak. So that's a whole school of economics, you know, the supply side economics. Those people are just freaks and nuts. And all the economists agree that the stimulus package isn't large enough. And no discussion of what that debt will do to long-term inflation, what it will do to the dollar, and all those things that we used to be so concerned about. I can remember Democrats talking about the profligate spending by Republicans, which looks like nothing compared to what we're about to do. And what is it designed to do? I mean, really, what's it going to do? We've begun the process nationally, or rather internationally, of nationalizing the banks, for example. We've started doing that. And you say, well, what's that? Well, first you had the TARP, where they forced them to take money. And secondly, now you have the Royal Bank of Scotland. The UK has begun to nationalize their banks. So I expect that they will at least consider it. These are things that await his decision, and there's no need for him to be centrist. So I think there's going to be a lot of disappointed people. We'll see. People could be very happy. But it's unbelievable, the coverage of Obama in terms of the media. Bob Berglund standing by with the news update. Let's do it. It's 9:31 at AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station.
And I will continue that coverage. The incoming residents of the White House are sitting down for coffee with the couple who've lived there for the past 8 years. Barack and Michelle Obama are there for a pre-inauguration coffee with President Bush and his wife, Laura. They're joined by Vice President-elect Joe Biden and his wife, Jill. Bush and his successor will later ride together to the Capitol for the inauguration ceremony, where a mass of onlookers is waiting. A lot of people plan to watch today's coverage on TV, even though they're supposed to be working. And at some businesses, that's just fine. In fact, at General Mills, employees will watch on company TVs on company time. Janine Jelks-Seal works there.
You know, there are other people who really wish they could be in D.C., share in the moment, want to have that sense of community, and we found a way to do that.
A lot of Minnesotans are there, of course, in the huge crowd. Some went on their own, others in groups that took buses to Washington. Lawyers for businessman Tom Petters are going to court for the third time to try to get him out of jail. Petters has been in the Sherburne County Jail since prosecutors charged him with defrauding investors out of nearly $3.5 billion in a Ponzi scheme. Attorneys say he can better help in his defense if he's out of jail, and this time, some of his family members are willing to pledge all of their personal assets to guarantee he won't flee before his trial, scheduled for February. Tonight's the night the Robbinsdale School Board is expected to vote on a plan to close three schools: Sandburg Middle School in Golden Valley, Pilgrim Lane Elementary in Plymouth, and Sunny Hollow Elementary in New Hope. A consulting group says the district could save as much as $2 million by closing those buildings. One would be sold, the other two would be used for other purposes. The board will hold one last public forum at 5:30 this evening, right before its regular meeting at 7 o'clock. Day three of the St. Paul Winter Carnival medallion hunt, and it has not yet been found. Clues for the hunt are printed in each day's St. Paul Pioneer Press. Whoever finds it gets a $2,500 cash prize and $1,200 in groceries from Cub Foods. Patrick Hammer's 5 Eyewitness News forecast: partly cloudy and 26 today, into the low to mid 30s tomorrow and Thursday before another cold front moves in. 10 degrees right now. General Mills issues a recall of some of its peanut butter products. Melissa Exelberth is in for Ed Curry with today's Wall Street Journal Business Report, brought to you by Federated Insurance. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. Financials leading the way with State Street down almost 50%. The Dow is down 108 points, the NASDAQ down 33, and the S&P 500 index, that's down about 17 points. Minneapolis-based General Mills has announced a recall of Larabar peanut butter cookie flavor snack bars and Jam Fracas peanut butter Bliss Crisp flavor snack bars. They say the products contain peanut butter that may be contaminated with salmonella. The company says no illnesses have been reported and no other General Mills products are being recalled. A major auto deal announced today. The United Auto Workers Union is backing a deal between European automaker Fiat and Chrysler. Fiat will take a 35% stake in Chrysler and can increase that to 55%. Taking a look at some stocks of area interest, 3M Corporation down about 1%. Xcel Energy is up almost 1%, and Best Buy Company down roughly a little over 3%. I'm Melissa Exelberth at the Wall Street Journal on AM 1500 KSTP.
AM 1500 KSTP.
AM 1500 KSTP, the talk station. This is Bob Davis. Well, I have scheduled no guest because you're going to be the guest. I don't know if anybody has anything to say about this. One of the things I hate about these big events is it's the interpretation of the news anchors. It is the interpretation of the reporters on the scene. It's everybody talking, 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 and you don't hear from anyone, any regular people. And this is the only medium where you have the opportunity to talk to regular people about what's going on. It's out with the old, in with the new. So you have Bush leaving and you have Obama beginning his administration. And I don't want to be super negative. I just want to be realistic. I want to be pragmatic about the incoming administration, but I also want to know what people's reaction to all this is. I mean, how do you react to $170 million for the inaugural? How do you react to the airport being shut down with private planes? If that was a Republican being inaugurated and there were private planes shutting down Dulles Airport and the rich people getting the front seats, you would have a fit. People would be talking about that all over. It would be the front page of the New York Times. It would be major coverage of is it fair? Is this going to be a fair administration and so forth? Nothing. Just simply the stories, and if you look for them, you find them on the internet. But I so far haven't seen too much in the mainstream so-called media. Are you just taking this in, not watching, or are you so beaten down that you just simply can't imagine what you would say about the inaugural? Is it something that you're interested in? 651-646-8255, toll free 877-615-1500. I guess the first question is, has it gone too far? The other thing is, I will give everyone one final opportunity to sort of post-mortem the Bush administration, and then we're done with it. It's out with the old, in with the new. In this hour, I would entertain questions and ideas and thoughts about the Bush administration and his time in office. And then next hour, we can talk about Obama at 11 o'clock. Of course, our time, Obama will begin the swearing in ceremonies at the Capitol. It's not the Lincoln Memorial. I guess that was the site of the concert yesterday. So I misspoke there, kind of got that wrong. Obama will be inaugurated at the Capitol. What is our reaction to this inaugural ceremony? What is our reaction to the media coverage of it? Is it fair? What about the Bush administration? What will be the legacy of the Bush administration besides keeping us safe? Is that the best that one can come up with, that there was no attack on U.S. soil during this time and that's the end of it? Lots of questions. And again, this is your coverage. I'm tired of listening to these news anchors tell us, again, how many porta potties there are and everything else. That is not, in a sense, what's important here. Those are interesting things, but what's important is what happens going forward. Dan, you're on AM 1500.
Bob, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. They fly all these hundreds and hundreds of actors and VIPs in from all over the world on their private jets, and all they're talking is green, green, green. And this is just a joke, the way they're spending our money. Why don't they just inaugurate the guy? Okay, he got elected. I hope he has a good time and does a good job. But I didn't vote for him, and I think this is just crazy what they're doing.
Does this look like it's going to be an inauguration for the common people? I thought there was going to be change and that the common people were going to be up front, and it looks like the same as any other thing in Washington.
Where are the common people? I mean, we got high school kids and stuff going out there. You got Oprah Winfrey's going to spend the night in the White House. I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, what's going on here? Where's the common people in this? $50,000 a piece these people are sending out there to help pay for the parties and stuff. This is just, none of this is right, but yet we got all these people who think it's going to be all this change. And I wonder what the real common people like me think about this. This is really a joke.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate
you,
it. Is it a coronation? And again, I am entertaining people's opportunities, whatever, to sort of postmortem the Bush administration, because we're not talking about it after 10. I'm not going to spend the next 6 months postmorteming Bush and his legacy, although some people will. He's out. We'll come back to that in a year or two when we can look at it with some perspective. Mike, you're on AM 1500.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I've been a diehard Republican since I started voting. And, you know, I voted for Bush. I didn't vote for Barack. I voted for McCain. But long story short is Bush handed this to him. And, you know, we knew he was a showman based on the Colorado, you know, the Democratic convention and the big party through there. So this is really no big surprise. I think they're talking about $40 million, and then the banks are going to be giving back some of the TARP money towards this campaign to total $170. So, you know, it's the Democrats won. The Democrats kicked our butts based on the fact that Bush did nothing the last 4 years except put the economy into a tail, you know, a nosedive. And I'm a Republican. I hate this. My mother, who's out there in Washington, just took a picture with our friend Arnold Schwarzenegger. I saw that she emailed it to everybody. You know, she's a common lady. She doesn't have a lot of money. She luckily has some connections through my sister and the Democratic committee, so she's able to get a ticket and be there. And she loves this. I guess it's sour grapes for the Republicans. I think, you know, Rush and everybody else is just standing around wringing their hands. Well, we better be ready that, you know,
I don't think the Republicans are ready. I don't think they're ready. They're not ready. There is some small contingent in Congress and the Senate to oppose, but I don't think the Republicans philosophically are ready to do anything yet. I think that remains to be seen. And unfortunately, it depends a lot on what the Democrats decide to do. Bush didn't do anything in the last year.
I don't think Bush did anything but damage control on the things that, you know, blew up in his face. I really don't. I mean, and we're, you know, everybody's gone. Cheney, nobody was chiming at the time. He was there bumbling by himself, being, you know, the fodder for late night television.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about every speech he gave.
Oh, talking about the communication effort. Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to be able to communicate to actually be a leader.
Yeah. I think if there's one thing about Bush that is, first of all, I think he's been savaged by the media. And I think any person who has stepped into the firestorm that he stepped into in terms of the media reaction to him from day one, it's been contentious, starting with Florida. Would have difficulty no matter how good of a communicator you were. Unfortunately, he did not have a good communications outreach program and really failed to communicate to the American people. And that's why he has a 20%. That's the worst thing that he did, aside from some of the policies.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think the first 4 years, great. We were in the war. Everything was forward. He made some faux pas there by, you know, saying we won when we hadn't even started to.
Well, he really didn't say we won. That banner was put up by the people on the ship. It was put up for him.
I heard him on TV.
Right. But my point is this. We did win. We did win.
Well, we've won to a certain point. And I agree with the war. I mean, Saddam we had to get rid of him. He was thumbing his nose. So we took him out and his sons and everyone else. That was the point of the war.
You know what's funny? I think Republicans are harder on Bush today than the Democrats.
Well, they're all going to lose their, you know, if they oppose the Democrats, there won't be Republicans in the House or Senate.
How did Bush get elected twice?
We'll dump them as well.
How did Bush get elected twice?
I'm sorry?
How did he get elected twice?
The first time it was, we had enough of Clinton.
Yeah, but it... Okay.
That was the first, you know, that, and you say who gets savaged. Yes, always the Republicans get worse press because all the media is run by Democrats. I mean, it's just, and that's a whole corruption in itself. But then, Clinton pointing his finger saying he did not have sex with that woman.
Yeah,
him.
Okay. I don't want to replay the Clinton administration. Thank you. Van, you're on AM 1500.
Good morning, Bob. And it was Tommy Franks that put up that banner. But my point here is, I think this is going to be kind of the press coverage on this is going to be like what they did with JFK, where everybody knew he was having affairs and things were going on, but nobody ever reported on it. And I think that Barack Obama is the media darling, and they're not going to say anything bad about him, no matter how bad things are. One of the reasons I think that is because this morning I heard that with Bush's farewell speech last week, the three major networks combined out of 7.5 hours of television coverage gave his farewell speech 58 seconds.
Well, I didn't want to see his farewell speech anyway, personally. Here's the deal. Bush is such a poor communicator. Believe me, nobody tuned in for the farewell speech. Nobody.
Well, I thought it was a great speech.
Well, good.
And when George Bush stood up and he stood on his principles, he gave some powerful speeches over his tenure. But day to day, he did not communicate the things he should have to the American public.
Is that it? Was it just the communication?
I think that was the main part of it, yeah, because he always held true to his own beliefs and his stance, what he felt was the right thing to do. And if he had done that and communicated that to the American public, I think his approval ratings would have stayed around 40% or better all the time.
Thanks, Van. Appreciate the call. Be right back at AM 1500 KSDP. We're talking about the inauguration of Obama, but in particular right now, giving the postmortem for the Bush administration. This is your last chance to do it because after 10, it's out with the old and with the new. We're going to start talking about Obama and the future. 651-646-8255, toll-free 877-615-1500 at AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station.
I'm not familiar with LaGuardia as I probably should be, but any airport that's got a large amount of water or wetland around it is going to have problems with birds.
More than just front page headlines.
A lot of trash talk. John Ostrom, the bird expert at MAC. Do you have geese that like to hang out at our airport too?
Royce and Company.
We have the same geese that like to probably hang out in your backyard.
Now weekday mornings, 5:30 to 9.
When we do have them come in, we do a lot of hazing and harassing. We shoot pyrotechnics. Worst case scenario, we'll use lethal control and actually shoot a few.
Well, now that brings up what I wanted to talk about.
On AM 1500 KSDP. The talk station. AM 1500 KSDP.
The inauguration of President Obama coming up here at AM 1500 KSDP, the talk station, 11 o'clock, noon Eastern. So at 11 o'clock, the whole thing will begin, the swearing in, and then, of course, the inaugural speech, which is really the focus of the day. This is a speech that's very difficult for the president to make. They try to set a tone. There really wasn't a lot of attention paid to inaugural speeches until Kennedy, I think it's fair to say, perhaps Roosevelt. And now it's now a big thing. It's you have to be careful what you say, and it's supposed to set a tone for the nation. We'll talk about that after 10. Meanwhile, we are out with the old and with the new, so we're sort of still talking about Bush. Since this is his last day in office, keep in mind, he did not declare the North American Union. He did not take over. He did not declare martial law, as so many people have emailed me over the years he was going to do. Cheney is not, so far anyway, there's, an hour or so left in the Bush administration. I don't see any attempts to take over the government. Maybe so, but we'll wait. That'd be a great thing to cover if it did happen, but I don't think it's going to happen. The Financial Times called Bush serially incompetent. They said that he is basically incompetent, that his intentions are great, but his follow through, his ability to see through policy is terrible. And that this is what has given him a 20% popularity rating. For example, Iraq failed to foresee the insurgency, kept the policy in a particular direction, disbanded the Iraqi military. They claim that many of the things that were done in his name, he didn't even know about. Obviously, Katrina came up and he was not prepared for that politically, didn't manage going forward politics and image and so forth. Reagan did. Clinton did. Obama will. Bush did not. Bush remained unflappable in terms of just his reaction to the way he was treated by the media. And that just made it worse. His ability to communicate, very poor. And a couple of things. I've asked authors and other people over the years, you know, what's wrong with them? And their comment was that the problem with Bush was Reagan sent out and I use this example all the time, Reagan sent out a bevy of experts, Bob McFarlane, you remember him, Cap Weinberger and so forth, to get the message out when they needed to get the message out, to essentially go over the heads of Washington and go right to the people and communicate this message. Bush seemed to be unable to do that. And on top of it all, he really was really bad when he got off message, when he got off the speech, which someone wrote, when he got off discussing a policy where he had the text down in front of him, he was absolutely terrible in front of the media. And that is death today in this country. We relate to everything through the television. If you cannot do well on television as a politician, really, I don't understand how he became president twice. And I think there's a lot of people that think the same thing. First, they claim he was illegitimate. I don't know about that. He won two close elections at a time when the country was divided. And some say popular, some say not popular, but he did win two presidential offices and he did, do pretty well in that first year in terms of getting Republicans in office. So Republicans who seem to be hardest on Bush, that's another thing. If you're a Republican, why are you so hard on him since he's your guy? 651-646-8255, toll free 877-615-1500. Tom, you're on AM 1500.
Well, I think you summarized it beautifully. I think the guy had great intentions. I think he surrounded himself with people that got perceived by the American public as being more career-oriented and personally invested in their advice to George Bush than he just could not convey anything spontaneous. He could not be reassuring. And right, when he got out...
What would be something that would be conveyed that would be spontaneous?
Again...
And why is that important?
I couldn't give a specific example. Why is it important? Because then a man can demonstrate he can think on his feet and react.
Okay.
And I don't think he ever gave anybody that kind of confidence, that he could take charge, that, you know, I mean, true or not, I think people thought that Cheney was running things his way underground. I think Rumsfeld was, you know, fumbling around on his own. And I think that, you know, he surrounded himself with people that were perceived as bad advisors, bad direction. I think WMD comes right down to that. And the initial reason to go into this thing killed him. You know,
well, and here's an interesting point, because virtually everyone in Congress supported it, with the exception of the current, the future president here in about an hour and a half. And they supported it because they believe the intelligence. So
right.
How come they didn't take the hit that he took on the intelligence issue?
Well, there you go. Colin Powell goes up in front of the United Nations, and I think he sold the country. Bush didn't.
Well, what about, it's not just Colin Powell.
No,
it's the senators, including Hillary Clinton, including John Kerry, including others who voted for it because they believed the same intelligence. What I think is interesting is nobody ever said what was wrong with Hillary Clinton's judgment for voting for that.
Well, there's good politics. There's good people around her who can cover that stuff for her. And she can react.
Or what? Or the media. Decided to take it out on Bush.
And I think he's terrible at defending himself against the media.
Yeah. Well, could you defend yourself against that, you think?
I don't know if I could. That's why I'm not going to be a good president.
Thanks, Tom.
All right.
You're way over.
Thanks, Tom. Got a break. Be right back at AM 1500 KSTP, the talk station.
AM 1500 KSTP.
Hey, don't forget, Twins Fest is happening this weekend at the Metrodome. We'll be there broadcasting live and interviewing your favorite players and coaches. Stop by the booth for a free 09 schedule magnet sponsored by the St. Paul Eye Clinic and spin our prize wheel to win a mini Gardy wind-up collectible, a free sandwich from Subway, or a pack of Upper Deck baseball cards. KSTP St. Paul, Minneapolis, the talk station coming up. Get an update on the inauguration.